Good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. It's day 266, and that brings us to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, which penetrates and divides, exposing our hearts so that we might deal straight with you and you might deal straight with us. Father, that's our desire. We want to be your people. We want to meet with you. We want to hear from you. We want to openly grow before you. And so we pray that you would be our teacher and that you would be our guide and our God through this lesson and through this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Levitical priests, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's food offerings as their inheritance. They shall have no inheritance among their brothers. The Lord is their inheritance, as he promised them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people. From those offering a sacrifice, whether an ox or a sheep, they shall give to the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the stomach, the first fruits of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the first fleece of your sheep you shall give him. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons, for all time. And if a Levite comes from any of your towns out of all Israel where he lives, and he may come when he desires, to the place that the Lord will choose and ministers in the name of the Lord his God, like all his fellow Levites who stand to minister there before the Lord, then he may have equal portions to eat, besides what he receives from the sale of his patrimony. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations, which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all as I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words, he shall speak in my name. I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die." And if you say in your heart, "How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?" When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. So, like every chapter in God's word, Deuteronomy 18 has some great treasures for us, some great things. It is God's word. And every part of it is important for us to know and understand. So let's see what we have here. We have regulations for the care and provision of the Levites. The Levites were set apart by God. They were a whole tribe out of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were dedicated to the Lord to help in the service of the Lord's tabernacle and later the temple. But also they were stationed throughout Israel so that they could teach the law. They could be guides to those who would need to know the Lord. One of the sad things that has happened throughout the history of Israel was that the Levites didn't fully function in their role. Under David and Solomon, there was a more robust functioning of the Levites within their office. But then after the split of the kingdoms, especially the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes that went and became what the nation known as Israel under Jeroboam, they really didn't use the Levites properly. They didn't employ them the way they're supposed to because they didn't want anyone going down to the temple, and Jeroboam set up his golden calf. So for the vast majority of God's people, there was not the functioning of the Levitical priesthood and the Levites the way that it should have been. But these were to be a people among the people of God who were set apart to help in the worship of God and in the teaching of God's word. And when they did that, it was a blessing to all the people. And God, to be able to continue to enable them to do this, there's two things. God wants them dependent on the worship of God, on the tithes and offerings. He doesn't want them having their own land and farming their own estates, because then, of course, they would not be faithful in the service to the Lord, because they're not dependent upon the service of the Lord. Again, the Bible's a very realistic book. If someone doesn't get their living from something, if it's not vital to their livelihood, they're not as much motivated to take it seriously. So God wanted the Levites to take it seriously and to be fully dedicated to it, and that meant the people needed to be faithful in contributing. Now, sometimes the people just weren't faithful in contributing, and the kings didn't enforce the people being faithful in contributing, and so there was a lack. But the way God set it up to work was a beautiful system where the Levites would be freed from having to work the ground and be farmers, but they would be able to dedicate themselves to the things of God, to knowing God's word, teaching God's word, and helping in the worship of God. In the same way, of course, we have pastors who are called to the ministry today, who are engaged in full-time ministry. They get their living from that so they can be dedicated to it. And it's up to the generosity of God's people to support them, and it's up to them to be faithful and dedicated to that calling. Now, the other thing that we have here in this chapter is a stern warning against following after the abominable practices of the nations. God judged the Canaanite nations because they practiced human sacrifice and did abominable things. Sometimes modern day critics we'll read about the conquest of the promised land and they'll say, God ordered genocide and that's evil, and these poor innocent Canaanites didn't do anything to deserve this wrath from God. But if you actually understand God's holy justice and you trust his good character, which we all should do, you'll be able to see that actually the Canaanites were not poor innocent people. They were burning alive their sons and their daughters as sacrifices to false gods. And archaeology has been done in Israel to uncover these Canaanite high places, and they have found babies' bodies that were burned in fire and then buried ritually in jars at the high places as a sacrifice to their gods. And so they were engaged in abominable practices, and God drove them out. Now, the sad reality is that over time, the people of Israel ended up engaging in those same abominable practices. God drove them out into exile too. For us, there's a very real warning here to say it's God's word that must be the standard for our conduct, not what is culturally acceptable. Our culture accepts and even celebrates all sorts of things that are an abomination to God, that are completely forbidden by Scripture. As believers, we must hold fast to what the Word of God says, and we must turn our back on the practices of the world that are a violation of Scripture. And then finally, we have this word about prophets. First of all, there is a prophet who is foretold. The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. It is to him you shall listen. Ultimately, that's Jesus. Jesus is the great prophet. He's a greater prophet than Moses because he's the Word of God made flesh. He speaks the Word of God because he is the Word of God. So ultimately, this is pointing us to Jesus, and that's where we see Jesus in this chapter, is as the one who is the prophet that is to come. So we should listen to everything Jesus says. However, there's also language in here about the prophets who will come. There will be a number of them. So there's a prophet to come, and then there are prophets who are going to come. And for the prophets who are going to come, it's important to test them to make sure you know that they're actually being sent by the Lord. And so if they say something in the name of the Lord and it doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet and they should be rejected. And we really need to be holding to this standard today. There are people in the church and in our culture today claiming to be prophets, and they go and make predictions about what they think is going to happen, and they're wrong. They're almost always wrong. And yet they just say, "I'm sorry, I got that one wrong," or "the Lord changed his mind," or some other lame-o excuse, when what we really need to do is call them out for what they are. They're false prophets. And we need to stop listening to them and stop having any association with them. Now, we're not under the civil law of the Old Testament, so we don't put them to death, but the spiritual equivalent, we put them out of the church. We consider them to be a complete fraud, and we don't listen to them at all. And that's what should be done, because if you prize God's word, one of the things we should prize about God's word is how sufficient it is. We don't need a word from a prophet who's going to tell us the future. That's really not that much different from these fortune tellers and diviners, except they're using the name of God to peddle their scam, right? I'll tell you the hidden Bible code that will unlock the day of Jesus' return, when Jesus explicitly said no one will know the day or the hour. I'll tell you the secret Bible code that'll tell you which way to invest in the stock market because of the coming economic collapse, because of the mark of the beast that's going to be in this, that, or the other thing. Stop, stop, stop. That is mishandling the word of God in order to try to act like a fortune teller or a diviner. It is being a false prophet, and we as Christian believers should shun such people, and we should warn others away from such people because they are false teachers and false prophets. And the Bible doesn't pull any punches about it, and neither should we. We should honor Christ by listening to Christ, by treasuring the word of God, being thankful that we've been given an all-sufficient word. We don't need to look for hidden codes and secret messages. God's told us exactly what we need to know in the pages of Holy Scripture to be interpreted according to ordinary means, as it has been faithfully by God's people for generation after generation. And what a gift it is. Here we are doing this every day because God's given us the gift of this word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us and giving us your word and giving us your spirit and giving us your church. Help us to be faithful in all things as your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me for Deuteronomy 18. Tomorrow we're going to be jumping back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 on tap for tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.